Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson Jr., lead pastor of VU Church, and I want to say thank you so much for listening to the VU Church podcast. This is a really special time of the year for us as we get ready for VU Conference this summer. It's our 10-year anniversary, and we are going big, taking it to the Watsco Arena. Now, I don't have to convince you it's going to be special. Today, you're going to be hearing from Pastor Mike Todd, who will also be preaching at VU Conference, along with Chad Veach, Judah Smith, Carl Lentz, and so many more. If you haven't done so yet, you need to go to VUconference.com and get your tickets today. We can't wait to see you in Miami this summer. It won't be the same without you. Get your tickets, VUconference.com. Now, let's go to the preaching.
I know that there are many people in this room that need help in the area that I'm about to talk about today. And when Pastor Rich and Don Cherie told me that you guys were in a series about relationships, I was like, what have y'all talked about so far? And there's like communication and going to the other side and all this other stuff. And he was like, and you can talk about whatever you want. I said, y'all did a relationship series and didn't talk about sex? I said, because the thing that's really making and breaking a lot of our relationships is our sexuality and the ideas that we have about sex. And the crazy thing about it is we let other people define what they didn't make. See, God made sex. And we have allowed culture and the world and everybody else. And I know some of y'all tight booty right now. You was just like, oh my God, why did I come to this service? Because God wants you to be free. Everybody say free. And some of y'all are like, well, I'm married and I don't need this. No, 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 no. You are carrying everything that who you are and what you've been into every area that you are right now. So I don't care if you've been married for 50 years. The ideas that were planted in your mind at 15 still show up in your life. And so this is what I want to talk to you about, because this whole thing about sex, it affects everybody. It affects how we act. It affects how we talk to people. It affects how we see people. Some of us have been abused. Some of us were exposed to things too early. Some of us have had a struggle in the past with pornography like me. Some of us have been just trying to stay out of people's DMs. Oh, y'all want me to be fake today? You've been slipping and sliding in DMs all over the place. Some of you have been so hurt by the things that have happened to you sexually that you don't even want relationship with anybody. And this is what I want to ask us to do. For the next 35 minutes, could we just not let social media, pop stars, everything that we've seen in reality TV, let's not let that be the standard for the next 35 minutes. But let's make the word of God the standard of our life and how we are supposed to view sexuality. So if you're ready, say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, y'all didn't even convince me. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, so my first point today is sex was God's idea. Now, I need you to understand that, because most of us, like me, I was presented that sex was bad. Because sex was supposed to be the thing I did not do as a young man. So the only thing I heard about, I grew up in church. And I was around a lot of great people. But the only thing that they said to me in youth group, and this is why I tell everybody who didn't grow up in church, it's okay, you may not have had such a bad disadvantage, because some of us who grew up in church, the only thing they told us about sex was, don't have it. Oh, y'all went to the same church that I... Don't have it. I mean, that's it? Like, that's the only instruction? What happens if you already did? What happens if you were exposed too early to something that was running rampant in your family, a generational habit? What happens? And that's the only instruction. And the problem is the church stays away from this because nobody wants to offend anybody and nobody wants to do anything. But the problem is the great thing about this message is I leave tomorrow. So if anybody's frustrated, come see me in Tulsa. You hear what I'm saying? But the truth of God's word remains. And the truth is about it is most of the time that we need prayer, and most of the time we're at the altar call, and most of the time we're talking about people, a lot of the issues are sexual issues. It's issues of what I'm not doing and what I'm not trying to do, and trying to please myself and not trying to hurt people and trying to get out of these cycles and trying. I'm in an emotional affair at the office with somebody I'm not married to. It's these things that are leading us down this path. And I believe God's word has something so strong to say about this. The word tells us in John, it says that the truth will make you free. The problem is there are too many people in church that won't deal with the truth. And so the reason they brought me here, you thought you was getting out of this series without us touching your issue. Hello, boo-boo, I am here. We're gonna talk about this because if you don't get truth, you can never be set free. And the truth is that 80% of all people under the age of 20 are exposed to sexual images, 80%, and they were not taught by parents, teachers, or pastors. The health journal says that they are taught by their friends who don't know nothing, social media, and television. The truth is that 50% of all high school students will have a sexual contact and relation before they get out of their senior year. That's the average. For black people, it's higher. 72% of all high school students will have a sexual encounter. For Hispanics, 52%. For white people, 47%. Yay, white people. All I'm saying to you is this thing has more hold of our lives and our culture than we want. We can come up and praise, but we know what we're gonna be doing 12 hours later. And all I'm saying is there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ and that will deal in truth. And today I'm coming to tell you things that I wish somebody would have told me. The beautiful thing about it is because God created sex, it's good. Some of y'all don't even believe me, so let's go to the word. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. I want you to see the first explanation or the first instruction God gives. He said, then God blessed them. He's talking about Adam and Eve. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. This was not an agricultural instruction. He made man, he made woman. He said, hey, y'all are naked and unashamed. Y'all are standing here, everything right. Adam, put it down, bro. Put it down. Like, blessings, worship. He told them, this is what I want you to do. So I need you to understand that this was the first command to humanity. I don't think you've ever thought about it like this. He didn't tell them, go pray as spiritual beings. He didn't say, start planning as beings that will be productive. He said, I want you to connect in intimacy, and I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. That takes me to Mark chapter 10, verse 6, when it said, but God made. Who made? God. Who made? But God made them male and female. That means he knows our parts. He knows our desires. He knows our urges. He knows our appetites. God is not thrown off by what you feel because he made you. And he said he made you from the beginning of creation. This explains why a man leaves his father and a mother and they're brought together in marriage and is joined. Everybody say joined. Now we think of that word and we think of something real like regular, like joined. But when you study this word out in the Hebrew, it has so much meaning. It means, it's a word that says Enoch, and it means to be joined in the most intimate way. Let me tell you that when somebody is supposed to be joined through sex or sexual intercourse, what's supposed to happen is a threefold cord is now made between those two people. You're supposed to be joined emotionally through intimacy, joined physically through the act of sex, and joined spiritually through covenant. And so you thought you was just having a one-night stand. You were joining yourself spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And the crazy thing about it is when you join with anybody, it creates these things called soul ties. And what happens is you weren't angry at all, but then you had that one night stand when it was your birthday and you don't really remember what happened. I mean, we was turned up, but you know. And you had that one night and you were never angry, but the person that you hooked up with was emotionally angry. And you just, where is this rage coming from? Why am I so frustrated? Because you have a soul tie with somebody you were never supposed to be with. I'm coming to your house today because some of you are sitting in your chairs right now tied to so many people you can't move. Your chair's about to break because you were doing something to fill a void, but what you were doing was creating a barrier to your future. Every time you tried to move forward, there's something holding you back. You used to be so confident in who you were, but then you hooked up with somebody and that emotional transfer took away some of your confidence. And you used to stand and know who you were, and now you second guess everything that God said. But today, I believe by the power of Jesus that some of you who have been tied up, I feel this thing, are about to be released from everything that has had you bound. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this building. I want to help you because some of you have been trying to figure out why your new relationship's not working. It's because you're still joined to your last one. You haven't let go of the soul ties that have come. And that's why I ask people all the time, this generation has to be desensitized to sex and what it can do. It's more about just pleasure. And like, I just needed to, you know, get a release. And you know what I'm saying? I was feeling lonely. So we hook up, but we know there's no strings attached. Let me help you understand. There is no relationship you will ever have that does not have a string attached. And when you start entering into sexual intercourse, even if that will be my wife, or even if that, I mean, we connect on all these levels, or we have the same expectations, what you are doing is in the Bible, the wedding, the bridesmaids, the groomsmen, that never signified a wedding. That's what we do. You know when God looked down and said, oh, they're together, is when they consummated the marriage. So my question is, how many people have you said I do to and you really didn't? This whole side is stunned. They're like, how many people, see, because God said it wasn't the wedding, it was when y'all came together is that's covenant. And many of us are married without the covenant to people. We've connected. We're getting the transfer of everything they are. And all I'm saying to you is today, one of the biggest things that makes and breaks relationship, I have seen great potential relationships go horrible because they entered into sexual relationship before they were ready. They stopped getting to know the person and started to begin to know what the person could do for them. And today, I just want you to see that when you're joined together, it says in the Bible, it says the two are supposed to become one. And it's so funny, at the end of that thing, it says, God says things for those of us like me who are remedial. He says, since they are no longer two, but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. See, you got to understand this concept of one. Everybody say one. God's plan from the very beginning was for us to live a life where there was one. In every area, and I want to give it to you. This was God's plan of one. He wanted everybody in the world to be able to serve one God, and it would be one man with one woman, one marriage, one sex partner, one flesh, one lifetime, one picture. Like that's what the original intent was. And that's why you have to realize that sex was not an invention of man. I know Trey Songz thinks that he invented sex, but this was not his invention. This was God's invention, so it is good. I want you to say something that many of you have never said in church. Sex is good. Because sex, some people over there can't even say it. You're just, open your mouth. Everybody say, because sex was God's idea. Until we take back the power from culture and the world and pornography and all of that stuff, they didn't invent sex. Sex was God's idea. But now let me take you to my second point. Sex has been perverted. See, it's been the enemy's plan since the very beginning. Anything that God says is good, the enemy comes to pervert it and say, well, did God really say that? And what I want you to understand is that what we are experiencing right now and what we live in, and I mean, y'all are on South Beach. You understand what I'm saying? Like, what is available everywhere? You got to understand that it's been twisted. The good thing that God has called us to, the thing that will make a relationship even stronger when you're doing it in the right context, it's coming to break relationships and cause so much havoc in the past. And so what I want you to know is that sex has been perverted and it's not a new thing. This thing has been going for a long time. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul, one of the wisest men who wrote a lot of the Bible, he was dealing with a group of people who were trying to live saved in a sexually charged world. Don't that sound like where we live right now? I'm just trying to keep my eyes on the prize. Lord, I'm just trying to stay on the gram without seeing some hams. Lord, I just need. Are y'all gonna be fake today? And we're just trying to stay focused and live this Christian life. And this is not new. Paul was talking to a group of believers who had changed their life, but they lived in the equivalent of Las Vegas at the time in Corinth, and a place that would cater to your sin. You know those areas that you can be like, I just want to do this. And everybody be like, yes, let's do that. Like, this was that place. And he was talking to these group of people, and Paul is addressing them because he knows that we can't take us out of this world, but we can be effective in this world. And look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He said, don't y'all realize, man, that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God. I like this part. Don't fool yourself. Like, don't fool yourself that you can continue to do everything that you've been doing before you met Christ and you'll be able to reach the highest potential of who God has created you to be. He said there's an area of your life, and many of us in this room, it has to be our sexuality, that we have to surrender to God or it caps us from the purpose that God called you from. And I know you've been this way all your life and this has been your little secret that you don't let anybody into. But what I'm telling you is some of us in this room, like me, we're fooling ourselves that we could be everything God wanted us to be, but keep this away from God. Like y'all know how people need prayer for something specific, but they be so general. Like, could you please pray for me? Cause I'm going through some things. Or they'll be like, you know what I'm saying? I did some stuff on a bed laying down last night and I just need you to pray for me. We know what you're doing. But you gotta be honest and truthful and talk about what's really going on, because the things that you hide from God, God can't bless who you pretend to be. He only can bless who you really are. And if this is where you really are, God says, that's all right, I'll use that. If this is really where you are, that's all right, I can take that. But what you hide, I can't transform. And there have been too many of us, because of what people think, we've been hiding what only God can transform. And so Paul's saying, don't fool yourself. And some of y'all are like, okay, so tell me, Pastor Mike and Paul, what is doing wrong? Let me define this for you. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, practice homosexuality, are thieves, or greedy people. See, some of y'all self-righteous people, y'all was good. Y'all was like, uh-uh, that ain't me. And then it said greedy. And because some of y'all are so greedy. You won't even share your fries. Do you hear what I'm saying? All I'm trying to say is this list of people, when you come into church, people try to put levels on it. Like, if you do this one, then you're really far from God. But down to being greedy can keep you from becoming everything that God has called you to be. Okay, some of y'all are gonna share at lunch today. Drunkards, abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourself. I came all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to help somebody understand that some of us are fooling ourselves, thinking that we can still be hooking up, believing God for our man of God. He's not gonna recognize you because so many pieces of you will have been taken. Some of you think that you can just keep sowing your wild oats all over Miami. And that God's gonna trust you with his precious daughter. And you can't even control your own body. How are you gonna be able to? All I'm saying to you is don't fool yourself. And look what it says in verse 11. It says, some of you were once like that. That's me. That's exactly how I was. I'm not coming out here to tell you what I haven't been through. I was the guy who was climbing out of windows at midnight. Oh, y'all gonna leave me up here like that? Like I'm the only one that's been doing some stupid stuff to get, okay, all right. I was the dude who was sexting and sending different things. I'm not coming up here as some high horse. I'm coming up here and say the only reason I can stand up here is because I took the things that I was dealing with in the dark and I submitted them to God and I came truthful to people who loved me and were further along than me in this process. And this stuff even came into my marriage. This stuff was haunting me because the lie is that when you get married, it also, your eyes still work. Your scrolling thumb still works. After you get married, and what God is saying to all of us is that sex is good, but sex has been perverted. And the thing that you got to realize about sexual sin is it's one of the most deadly. The Bible tells us it's the only sin that you sin against yourself. Like it's the only one that you become a slave to. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, some of you were once like that, but then you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by not doing everything right, but by calling on the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Can we take 5 seconds and give God praise for his grace? I'm not where I wanna be, but I'm not where I used to be. I used to be asleep at this time, but at VU Church right now, I thank God for the grace of God. Pastor Mike, why are you saying that? Because there's people in here who stuck in this, and there's people in here who acting like you weren't stuck in it. And this is where I get so frustrated with the church, is that we act like we didn't go through some of the things that the very people we're trying to reach are going through. And I'm telling you that it was me. I had sex before I was married. I cheated on my fiance, about to be wife. It took us a decade, 10 years. Everybody like, relationship goals, hashtag. Because I didn't understand and I let MTV and BET and E! News and all of these different things and movies define what sexuality was me, I brought that stuff into my marriage and I almost missed out on the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because I didn't understand how God meant for this thing to work. And it almost, when we talk about make or break, it almost broke the promise of God in my life. And I just came to let somebody know that this is the time where you have to shut the door on those things, even if it's been habitual, even if you were abused, even if you were at your uncle's house and you were looking for tissue and you went under the thing and you found magazines when you were young. And it exposed you to images that nobody is supposed to see. No matter what it is, I'm telling you, man, there's a God that won't judge you for where you're at right now, but that will bring you into a new place of being free so that all of your relationships can be done his way. And so some of these disciples Paul's talking to was like, y'all like, okay, Pastor Mike, but you say I'm allowed to do anything under the grace of God, but everything is good for you. It's not good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. My question to you is, what are you a slave to? What gets you up? When you're tired in sleep, what makes you get up and do what you don't even want to do? What is pulling you? What is driving you? And for some of us, sex is that thing. And we'll never stand up and say it in church. We got fake Instagrams, Finsta accounts to be able to do all of those things and cater to our flesh. And I'm asking you right now, what are you a slave to? Because if you're a slave to sexual sin, what ends up happening is sexual sin always brings friends. You cannot be in sexual sin and not lie. You can't be in sexual sin and not bring deception and control and fear and doubt and unbelief. All of that stuff comes with it. And you look up and you just did one time with one person, just that one thing, and you didn't even know that it changed your whole character. Everybody's like, what happened to her? And it was the thing that happened, or what happened to him? It was the thing that happened behind closed doors. And the problem is for people like me, is I didn't know that I had to surrender my sexuality. I didn't know that as I stand here today talking to you from a place of experience, that I wasn't even dealing with my own sexual sins. I was dealing with the sins that my dad dealt with and that his dad dealt with. See, if you don't believe what I'm saying and you're like, okay, Pastor Mike, I think I got this handled, and you're still going in this cycle that you're allowing sex to control what you do, what you say, where you go. If you don't want to break this cycle for you, at least break it for your children. No, hear what I'm saying. If you feel like you can handle it, I promise you, your kids can't. Because the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, it says that the sins will follow, the iniquities can follow in down to 3 and 4 generations. Most of y'all are sitting here dealing with things that your mom and your grandmother dealt with. But don't nobody talk about that. Let me tell you a real story. I dealt with pornography so bad as I was coming out of high school and into my early 20s. And I was struggling behind the closed doors. I was still serving in church, playing drums, doing all this other stuff. Hallelujah! Going home, dial up internet. I was gonna get caught. It was so slow. You hear what I'm saying? Like, that, all of these things were happening. And I go through a decade of battling this thing, trying to serve God, trying to reach my full potential, and going home and struggling with this demon at night. And finally, when I got the faith to start talking about it, my dad came and had a conversation with me. And he said, son, the same thing that you're dealing with right now, I dealt with at the same stage and age of your life. I was like, why didn't you tell me? Because somehow we think that if we expose and are truthful about what we dealt with, somehow we're going to expose our kids to what they don't need to be exposed to. They already know. We already knew. 6th grade, boys' locker room, exposed me to everything. And I was dealing with certain things. And my dad said, when I was in college, our band, I was part of a marching band that was worldwide, and we went to New York and we had a night off. And one time when we had that night off, he said, Michael, I went down this certain street with a pocket full of quarters. And I was like, Dad, why you have a pocket full of quarters? He said, back in that day, the equivalent of pornography was peep shows. And he said, you would put a quarter in and then the curtain would be pulled back and you would see naked women. He said, son, both of my pockets were completely full. As I walked down those streets trying to satisfy an appetite that I had not submitted to God. And he said, and I tried to handle it and I got married and I didn't talk about it. And now I had 5 sons. And every single one of my brothers, I have 2 of them here right now and 2 more back at home. All of us, 2 of them have babies out of wedlock and the other ones dealt very strong in perversion and pornography. All I'm telling you is if you don't deal with it, it passes to the next generation. And let me teach you 2 words that kind of sound churchy, but they're gonna help you understand. Write down the word transgression and iniquity. These are 2 things that I wanna teach you about right now because this really helped me. A transgression is like going past the line, like trespassing. So a transgression is, man, I sinned, I committed adultery, I went past the line, but I can come back. Like I went beyond something that I was supposed to do and I came back. And then iniquity is the inward attitude that allows you to make a transgression. So if a transgression was adultery, the iniquity or the inward thing is lust. So on the inside, I have lust. And so on the outside, I committed adultery. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's so crazy that a lot of people will church talks about the transgression. Oh, you lied, or you had sex, or you did this, but we never deal with the root of it, the iniquity. And the crazy thing is, it's those iniquities that passed down from generation to generation. But I want you to hear what the word of God says in Isaiah 53 verse 5. This is good. Look what it says. It says, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. I want you to see how congruent the word of God is right here. When you are transgressing, it said he was wounded. If somebody cuts you, that's on the outside. You were wounded on the outside. And he said, for every transgression you made, he said, I took cuts and beatings for that. But then it says, but he was bruised. How do you get a bruise? It comes up from the inside. He said, I was cut for every sin you would make. And he said, I was bruised from the inside out for every transgression that you would have. And he said, the chastisement of your peace for your family was upon him. And by his stripes, you are healed. I need somebody to give God praise right there. You are healed. You're healed by what Jesus Christ did. You don't have to live in sexual perversion. You don't have to be controlled by those appetites. This does not have to break you. And so when he was getting beat and he was getting scourged and he could have called down heaven to save him, he said, no, because Michael, 2,000 years from now, is going to need me. And he got back up on that stump. And he let them beat them. So he was bruised and wounded for my transgressions. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? You got to understand this. Sex has a container. And it's marriage. So nobody ever told me why you're not supposed to have sex before you're married. Just don't do it. After studying the word, I understand it now. The same fire that heats your home, makes your food, starts your car, is the same fire that can burn down everything in your house. The only difference between the fire is the fire has a container. Sex is one of those things that is so powerful, so magical, so amazing. Oh God, I got a witness. It's so good as long as it's kept in the container. And this is why a lot of people's lives are being burnt up right now, going from sexual partner to sexual partner, is because you're using this wild thing that God created to be so good, but you're using it out of the right context, and it's burning up all your relationships. And it's ravaging your families. And we're going through cycles and cycles and cycles. The Bible tells us that our bodies were made for the Lord. I want to give you a practical example because Hebrews 13:4, it tells us, it says marriage is honorable among all and the bed is undefiled. That means whatever y'all do in there in the context of your container, more power to you, boo-boo. Do it and do it well. I think that was Prophet LL Cool J. Doing it and doing it and doing it well. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do that. But it's in the right, everybody say container. He said, because the Lord cared about your body that much to not give you something that powerful outside of the right container. Let me help you. I'm gonna show you a picture right now of water. Water is one of the most powerful things in the world. And water used in the right way can power an entire city. This is hundreds of millions of gallons of water in the right container. And it's bringing power, light, and life to an entire group of people. But that same water outside of the container. This is a picture of Houston. It flooded, destroyed the whole city. Y'all know about hurricanes here? And after all of the stuff recedes, and after you get out of that relationship with Ricky and you get in one with Ricardo, and after you move from this state to that state, running away, when the water recedes, there's still damage that will never, ever be repaired. And even if we cut out the drywall, we'll be able to see that that's different than what was there before. And there are so many people in this room that have been so patched up because of all the relationships that you've been in, all of the things that happened, all the things you did just to feel like somebody loved you. I came to tell you somebody does love you. And he loves you more than any person would ever. And he has the right person for you, but it has to be in the right context. And that's in marriage. And I'm not coming up to you because I failed this test. And I paid for it too. Most people want to stand up here as the pastor and tell you, that's why you should do the right thing because I did it. That's stupid. I failed. And I have scars to prove it. almost lost the best thing that ever happened to me. There were pieces of me that went with other people that weren't supposed, because I didn't understand. Nobody explained to me that if I put sex in the right container, it'll produce life, light, and so much hope for other people. So what do I do, Pastor Mike? Last point of the day, surrender your sexuality. You talking about make or break, and I know some of y'all been still this entire service. Your neck has not moved yet. Like, some of y'all ain't been this stiff in a long time. That means I didn't come for shouts and hoorays. I came to build this church today. I came so the thing that you're praying for can actually happen. Because for so many of us, there's things that are happening in the back rooms of our hearts that we never tell anybody. But now it's time for us to surrender our sexuality. 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says this, and God will raise us from the dead by his power. This is Paul talking to these guys. Just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Okay, great, Pastor Mike, but I'm still struggling. Like, great for him raising Jesus from the dead. And thank God when we die, he's going to raise us from the dead and we'll be with him in heaven. But how does that help me right now? Because I'm horny. How does that help me? I'm hot and bothered. I was going to the beach for sun rays. And I've seen some things, Lord. Can we be honest? And I asked God, make this scripture alive to me. And he said, Michael, come close. See, I spent time with him. And he said, Michael, if I can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, and I'm going to raise you from the dead when you die, he says, you think I can raise a living body or raise a dead body but not manage a living one? He said, but you have to let me. Everybody say let. That means allow. You have to let God into the areas you've been holding him out of. So what that looked like for me is coming clean. The Bible tells us in James, confess your sins one to another, not to Pastor Rich or to Adrian, the pastor. He said one to another. If you work in a salon and you're a bailman at a hotel, God said the power of your healing comes when you confess to one another. That's why you got to get in a VU crew, not so you can just have a click. It's because when I'm struggling, when I'm down, when I'm broken, I got to have somebody that I can talk to. And then it says we pray for each other. And we are, everybody say healed. So I'm telling you today, it's time to surrender it. I know the enemy's been messing with so many of your minds right now, just trying to keep you from receiving what God's saying. But I didn't come here for excitement. I came here on assignment. And there are hundreds of you in this room that need to do what I did. We need to take sexuality back from the world who has perverted it. And we need to know, no, sex is good. Because sex is God's idea. And I'm not going to let anything make or break this anymore except God. And I'm going to stand in this place and I'm going to do what God told me to do. Yeah, it's been perverted, but I'm going to surrender my sexuality and I'm coming clean to God today. And what are you saying, Pastor Mike? Last scripture, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. This changed my life. It says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument to serve sin. Everybody say instead. When we talk about make or break, there is a middle ground. You can make or instead you can break. Some of you in this area have been broken, but everybody say instead. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body, your texting thumbs, your thighs, your eye, use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.